Welcome back to the Pixels and Dice podcast. Please join our hosts as they bring poorly thought out opinions on game into the table, spew it out as though they know what they are talking about, then wander off back to their caves. Or wherever it is they came from. Seriously, I have no idea what rock these freaks crawled out from underneath, nor should any of us really want to know. I assume it to be a dark place, full of stale pizza and weird pornography. Then again, that doesn't sound all that bad, come to think of it. Anyway, don't get too close. They bite.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, hey, there's this little game out. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's, what's the name of it? That's right, Animal Crossing.
Uh-huh. And what exactly is Animal Crossing?
Crack.
Really?
Yes. When I can actually play it. You see, I bought a Switch for me. Because my sweetie, 10, she doesn't really play console games. Not anymore. Not since PlayStation 2. But she saw me playing Graveyard Keeper on the Switch not long after I picked it up. And she thought that was a fun game, but, you know, she might try it, whatever, you know. She was like, yeah, okay, it's kind of fun. And then I got Animal Crossing New Horizons. And now my pro controller for the Nintendo Switch is her controller. I have to use the little plastic thingy that holds the Joy-Cons in it like a controller. That's my controller. Except for now she wants to buy a second pro controller so we can each have one because she doesn't like using the Joy-Cons. Oh, no. No. And she's all about Animal Crossing. All about it.
She has... why don't you go into depth on what exactly Animal Crossing is?
Okay, well, for those of you who don't know, and, well, let me give an example of why everyone probably already knows this stuff. Animal Crossing New Horizons and the new Doom game, Doom Eternal, came out on the same day, about 3 weeks ago. And in the whole theme of threes, Doom Eternal just sold like crazy. It did really well and continues to do so. Animal Crossing New Horizons sold three times as many games as
Doom Eternal. So it's a strong franchise.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's been selling. It came out originally in Japan for the Nintendo 64. We didn't get it in the West. We didn't get it until it showed up on the GameCube, which is where I first played it. And it's a fun game. It's kind of Stardew Valley. Well, I should say Stardew Valley is a really good, not copy, but in the same vein as Animal Crossing.
Okay. It's
that sort of go out and do farming and get to know your neighbors. And it's a very casual, friendly, just sit down and relax type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Animal Crossing was the first big title to do that sort of game. And it is, this New Horizons is absolutely amazing. Sure, there's problems with it. I'll grant you. I mean, I have the primary account on the game because, you know, I bought it. I set it up. I didn't expect my wife to want to play it so bad. So hers is the secondary account. And my character is the resident representative on the island. So I can do certain things like certain quests that are set up by Tom Nook, the president of Nook Incorporated. It's a long story. Anyway, he gives me quests that he does not give to my wife that helps develop the island. He sells me certain things that I can go put plots down for new people to move in. She can't do that. I can buy things for bridges and inclines to change the way the island is set up. She can contribute money towards them, and usually because she's a money-making monster who is constantly playing while I'm sleeping. She plays like 12 hours a day every day. So she, I'll set up, okay, we're going to put a bridge in here. I come back from work, she's already paid it off, and it'll be turning on. You're supposed to take a few days to pay these off. Oh no, she's earned all the money, and it's ready to go the next morning. Okay, cool. I'll set up a plot where, oh, we need to do this incline. Nope, she's paid it off now. You'll have it in the morning. Great. Which is awesome. I'm very thankful, but at the same time, it limits what she can do with the game. We actually talked about buying a second Switch just so she could play as primary in the game on her own device. So like I said, it's crack. Anyway, aside from that, it's very popular. It's, if you look on YouTube, there are people, and Twitch, there are people playing this game like crazy all over the place. It's a big, huge phenomenon. Fun. It's been going this way since March 20th when it came out. So, not quite a month. It's big. It's popular. If you don't know Animal Crossing, well, your head's been in the sand. Got it. Apparently, China also knows about Animal Crossing, though. See, there's this little problem. They've been generally okay with Nintendo games.
Well, usually. They're fairly family-friendly.
Usually. But not so much with Animal Crossing. They just banned it last week.
Well, doesn't sound like there's anything egregious there.
There isn't. Except for one little thing. If you have the $20 a month to drop down on their online service, Nintendo Switch Online, you can share content with anybody else in the world. And you can create, they have this little design creator, so you can create shirts and flags and whatnot. And people can download them. You go to the, when you're in this, for example, if you're in the dress shop, they've got a little device that you have the service, it'll log on, and you can look through things anybody has made all over the world. And you can download them and you know, buy shirts, dresses, whatever that has that design on it. It's kind of neat. Well, some people were sharing stuff like, you know, designs, I would say, Free Hong Kong or other pro-Hong Kong comments.
Yeah. I can see how they get pissed off about that.
Just a little bit. Just a little. So they didn't go for, oh, we're going to yell at Nintendo, or, oh, we're going to, you know, whatever. No, they just flat out banned the game entirely.
Well, that's getting back at Nintendo for allowing that kind of stuff to happen.
Sure, sure. But the game's already selling like gangbusters. Oh, no. They, you know, yeah, they may have had all kinds of sales in China, too. But I think Nintendo's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, and I was just going to say, people in China, they're just going to go to a different server and play it anyways.
Yeah. That's what VPNs are for.
Yep.
So, yeah. Also, if they do a VPN, they can buy the game digitally, and they don't even have to buy a physical card. So, yeah, this is pretty much a symbolic action on China's part.
Mm-hmm.
Only the people that are completely honest and don't use VPNs are going to be affected by it. And, of course, you know, if you get caught having bought the game, then you can get in trouble. Oh, no, I bought a game. Yeah. So, the point is, Animal Crossing's kind of making a big stir.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's kind of NFT. I mean, and I know there are problems with the game. And I mentioned how 10 feels like she's having a limited game experience compared to my game experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her a workaround for that, which is, well, no, it's not going to work for everybody, but it works for us. If I'm not playing, which is, you know, most of the time she is playing, she can log on to my account. It's just a matter of starting as me as opposed to as her. Hey, look, I'm on his character. I'm going to go set up a bridge or an incline or put in a store, you know, put in a new place for someone to live or whatever that she feels needs to get done while I'm not there to do it. And then once that's done, she logs out of me, goes to her character and goes and plays her normal experience. Oh no, I don't get to experience having to do the drudgery of setting up somebody else's house. What will I ever do?
Sounds like a tough choice.
Yeah.
But I do see her point. She's playing your character and not her own.
Sure. And I get that. And also people complain that, oh, you only have one island. Because when you set up the game on, you know, a Switch, it creates an island for that Switch. And up to four people can play on that Switch, play that game direct there. So it could be the two of us and two other people can set up accounts on our Switch and everybody can play. But then there's mine as primary and everybody else is a secondary character. They all have the same experience that 10 is.
Well, then they need to add something so that everybody else has a better experience.
That would be handy. I would love for them to make it to where there's everybody has their own island. Or they could be two islands nearby each other and you can, you know, bounce from, you know, basically have a boat. There's a plane that travels to random other islands and whatnot, but maybe have it to where there's four, potentially four nearby islands and you could travel to them by boat. So... Mm-hmm. 10 could have her own island over here. Maybe you could play on our device and have an island over here whenever you happen to be over, that sort of thing. That would be fine. That would make everybody happy. Oh no, it would take too much space on the device. No, not really. I don't see why they can't overcome that. Especially since that's been the way it was in the past. Not multiple islands that people bounce to, but everybody who played the game, like say on a GameCube, I would have my island on my game, and if 10 played the game, she would have her own island and play the exact same game on her island. I don't see the problem with this. I think Nintendo was trying to do something different, trying to do something like, you know, bring people together, have more of a communal situation on an island, which is fine. I totally get that. Except if you're going to do that, everybody playing on that island, every actual player character should be a resident representative. And able to do the same quests.
Well, you'd hope so.
Now, there's certain milestones that need to be reached. You know, there's a quest that opens it up so that the two boys working for Nook, Timmy and Tommy, so that they can have their own shop. There's certain things that the resident representative has to do to get that going.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that that quest can't be tweaked so that anybody playing on the device, maybe one person starts the quest, then everybody can work together to make it happen. Because all it was gather 30 wood, 30 of, you know, different materials. There was like four different types of materials you had to get. I had to turn them in. Other people could gather them for me, but I had to turn them in. Well, all they have to do is change it so that it's a running tally. Maybe I turned in 15, and then 10, when she's playing, could turn in another 15, and that portion's done. It's not that hard.
Doesn't sound like it.
Same with the first three resident houses we had to build. There were certain things that had to be done to make them set, to get them set up. And then to get people to move in, you had to build or acquire like three different pieces of furniture each. Three interior and three exterior. And set them up right outside the house or just inside. Oh no, you had to put them in a box, that's right. Anyway, point is, why couldn't they go over and do that too?
Because
as a resident representative.
They're lazy.
I can't
imagine that coding wouldn't or would be preventing it.
I'm fairly certain that it could make it work. Now, I knocked out all three of the houses in a day while I was playing. So maybe it was possible that 10 could have done that as well. I don't know. We'll know, but we won't know personally because it's already done. But I know for certain that setting up the shop, the first shop, I was the only one who could do it because that really frustrated her. She had no access to it and knew it was waiting for me to play. And she, at that time, refused to log on to my character to work on it because she wanted to play it on her character, which I totally get.
Well, I do see the drawbacks, because with like Stardew Valley and my time at Portia, there are so many different things you can do to make your experience unique. You know, you can focus on romance and, you know, building a family and, you know, getting married and all that. Or you can go straight into crafting or farming or whatever and just really just hyper-focus on that. Or you can focus on, like with my time at Portia, they've got you can be a rune diver and, you know, dig through all these old ruins looking for, you know, artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, focus on combat and, you know, exploration kind of thing. So each different way, each time you play it, you can have a different kind of experience. You don't have to have the same thing over and over again. So maybe she wants to do something that you don't want to.
Right. Well, I know she's been spending a lot of time talking to other residents on the island.
Mm-hmm.
She's made friends with them so much that she's actually gotten a nickname that was given to her by one of the residents. So they all call her Touchdown.
Touchdown. Okay. Yeah.
She did something so well that the one of the sporty characters who's into all kinds of sports and working out, he said she did it so well it was like a touchdown.
Ah.
So he asked her if he could call her Touchdown. So she was like, okay. And then one of the other residents, when she talked to them, said she'd heard him calling her Touchdown. Would it be okay if she called her Touchdown? And so now almost everybody on the island is calling her character Touchdown.
You sure they don't just want to score with her?
Oh.
Pum-pum-tsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I'm hopeful that Nintendo, I should say, tweaks the game. They certainly can. They have the capability to update it as they like.
I would certainly hope so.
And I don't know if making everybody have their own island is necessary, but giving everybody access to the certain skills, the ability to go and, I mean, it's ridiculous that she can't go when there's no other infrastructure product, because only one infrastructure project can be going on at a time. If nothing else is going on, why can't she go and talk to Tom Nook and say, I want to set up a bridge. I want to set up an incline. Whatever. I want to demolish something that's already been built. She should have access to that just like my character does. That should be a really easy fix. Plus, we're talking about literally just changing some quests. If they want to keep the current online limitation of leader-follower, where if two people are playing together, two or more, one person is the leader, everybody else is a follower, and they can't access their certain things, like their inventory. They basically can go and do crafting. Well, they can gather. They can cut down trees or knock wood out of trees. They can pick up grass and weeds. They can pick up fruit, that sort of thing. But they can't be off screen from the main character, from the leader, which is, it's a little limiting, fine. But if you're running around together, it's not a big deal. Everything that the followers pick up goes into the recycle bin in the residence center, so that's not a big deal. As long as you keep an eye on it, make sure it gets cleaned out before it gets full. Anyway, if they want to leave that as it is, it's not great, but it's doable. It's acceptable. It's a way for everybody to play together. Maybe the game is limited. They can only do that much. Fine. But the whole locking other players out from being a resident representative has to change. It has to. This game will not be able to continue to be a huge ongoing game with DLC and whatnot if it does not change. People will get sick of it.
Sounds like they already are.
Oh, no.
If you're having that experience, I can guarantee you a lot of other people are having that experience.
Oh, sure. People are still playing it, but the reason they're still playing it is we're mostly in a shelter-in-place situation. Most people are stuck at home, and this is a good time killer while you're stuck at home. As soon as that's no longer the case, this game, Animal Crossing New Horizons, unless it changes and fixes these problems, is going to get tossed to the curb. I mean, let's be honest, it's grindy, it's limiting, unless you're, I mean, not for me. I can play all, you know, I've got all the features. That's great for me. But there's going to be a lot. And for anybody that has, they're the only account on a Switch, they don't even know what I'm talking about. But for everybody else, every household that has more than one person playing, yeah, they know what I'm talking about. And while hardcore fans may really love it and may continue, yeah, I'm pretty sure that most people, once they can leave their houses, they're going to find something else to do.
Well, that's just it, though. There are plenty of other games out there they could be playing. The two I mentioned, Stardew Valley and My Time at Portia, are fine games.
I don't know if
they'll fill that niche.
I don't know if the second one there, My Time at Portia, is on the Nintendo Switch, though.
Well, I'm not saying it's on Nintendo Switch, but it's still a good game you can get off of Steam.
Sure, sure. But a lot of the people who are playing Animal Crossing, they're just playing it because it's on their Switch. It's easy, it's convenient, yada yada. But Stardew Valley, I know for a fact, is on the Nintendo Switch. In fact, I'm thinking of buying it for 10 for our anniversary, which is coming up. Because then it's a very similar game that she can play and have the exact same experience that I would have by playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, as it is, she can already play Graveyard Keeper, which is Stardew Valley for goths. I mean, it's literally all about death. Your character starts out dead, and you've got to help out a disembodied skull by becoming the graveyard keeper. They drop off corpses and you have to do autopsies on them and manage your graveyard and clean it up and bury the bodies before they go bad and deal with angry spirits and whatnot. It's a cute little game. You can pick that up on Steam as well. It's worth checking out if you like such games. But the mood of that game of Graveyard Keeper, it isn't really her style. She prefers something a little lighter and bouncier and happy.
This is from the woman who was hardcore into playing Diablo, the original.
Yeah, and loves Grimdawn. Absolutely loves it. Yes. But when it comes to these casual town simulators.
Yeah.
She likes Graveyard Keeper, but it's not so much for her. She prefers Animal Crossing. That's why I'm thinking of getting her Stardew Valley. Then I can actually, when I can actually touch the Switch, I should say, maybe I'll get to actually put some time in on Animal Crossing.
Sounds like you have a problem.
No, I wouldn't consider it a problem at all. In fact, it's a fun game. I know they're way expensive right now, but when the price of a Switch comes down, you guys really ought to consider buying one.
Oh, we are planning on getting one for Christopher.
It is really worth it. I don't know how much Christopher likes Stardew Valley and such games.
Nah, he's more of a Bloons Tower Defense and Minecraft kind of person, but...
Well, they have Minecraft for the Switch, so...
Well, he also likes games like Mario Party and Mario Kart and Super Mario World and that sort of thing.
Well,
so.
I happen to know that on your Wii U, he played Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah. They a lot.
Mario Maker 2 is on the Switch.
Yeah, he loved building impossible things to beat.
Yeah.
So, and then he'd get mad because he couldn't beat them.
If you buy him one, you definitely need to make that your pack-in game, because it doesn't come with one.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, pick that up as well. I'm sure he'll love it. It's quite popular. I'm not a Mario Maker type person, but anyway.
Yeah.
You have anything to mention about? I've been just babbling about Animal Crossing all...
No, Animal Crossing sounds like a fun game once they, make it more multiplayer friendly. Because yeah. I'm sure that's one of the selling points is, co-op play. But if that's all people are getting for the co-op play, why play it?
Yeah. I mean, overall, it's got a lot to go with. And even if you are playing a secondary character on the account, mm-hmm. there is still a massive amount of stuff to do. And I know I will jump on. I play mostly on the weekends. And she plays 7 days a week, my wife. And I'll come back to the museum. And it is just chock full of different dinosaur bones that she's found, fossils. It's different fish and bugs and whatnot that have all been added during the week. And I'll come in there with my measly little T-Rex skull. And there's already one there. Well, great. Now what am I going to do with this? Oh, that's right. I can sell that at the shop I set up for thousands. That's just all an example. But mm-hmm. point is, there's still lots to do. I mean, she's, without terraforming the island, with her planting flower beds and setting up different outdoor stuff, different decorations and swings and whatnot, things for people to do on the island. More and more, she's made the island what it's becoming. She's effectively terraforming it before we can even do that. But we're coming close. In another couple days, we will have the concert and finish, quote-unquote, the game. Once you've done that, you get the ability to terraform your island, change how the rivers flow and everything. And once that's on... it's all out the window. She's just going to completely redo the entire island. If we'd known what we were what would happen in the game, we would not have chosen the island layout we did right at the start. Because we made one that was broken up into like four different parts.
Yeah.
And that's great. Actually, no, it's one, two, three, like five different parts. There's the main to the south. Then the way the rivers flow, there's this one little piece off to the left, then a couple in the middle, and then one off to the right. It's a little bigger. And they're all broken up by rivers running through them. Great. But more rivers means more bridges have to be built. And so it's been frustrating.
Sounds like it.
So we're going to have to completely redo things. But anyway... that's about all I've got. How about you?
I got nothing else to input on that. Like I said, I've never played the game, so.
Well, you absolutely should. And once you get a Switch and get the game, let us know, and we'll invite you over. We'll send, you know, do the whole friend code thing, and you can come over and see our mostly wonderful island.
Mostly wonderful.
Well, we're building an amusement park eventually.
It's mostly wonderful at night, only mostly.
Anyway, till next time, yes. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bellis.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for joining us for another Pixels and Dice podcast. If you did get too close and caught a nip from one of our hosts, please get that wound treated promptly, as it is likely to fester. Otherwise, feel free to check out our other podcasts, blogs, and assorted nonsense at scormy.com. Leave a comment, if you will. Stroking their egos goes a long way towards keeping the hosts in their hovels, thus keeping the rest of society free of them.